Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Today we are continuing our Lenten series, this journey, Listen to Him. We've been on this road from the Mount of Transfiguration all the way down to Jerusalem, knowing the cross is waiting on us there. So we looked at the glory of Christ on the mountain. We looked at how much more will God give us of the Holy Spirit. If we're good enough to give our kids good gifts, how much more will God give us? Then we looked at the little things matter, and we see the difference that a mustard seed and a tiny bit of yeast can make in the entire loaf of bread. Then last week we looked at the story where Jesus healed 10 people, and the 9 that should have known to come back and praise God kept going. And the one foreigner turned around giving praise to God and falling at the feet of Jesus. Today, our story is going to be a little different. Jesus isn't going to give us a direct command. He's not going to ask us direct questions, but he is going to be talking to us. So we want to listen and hear what he has for us today. We're going to be in Luke again, Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. If you're in one of the Emmanuel Black Bibles, it's page 853. If you're on the app, it's there for you. If you're in your own Bible, Luke 18, starting with verse 9. If your health allows you, I invite you to stand as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the gospel. We pick up in the middle of some teachings of Jesus, and he continues this way. It says, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of God for you, the beloved people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart gathered here, may it be pleasing and acceptable to you in your sight. Amen. So we meet two characters in our story today. There's no questions, there's no actual lesson, there's just a parable. There's just this story that Jesus is telling. The hard things with parables is we cannot put ourselves in that story with the way it's written. But those that were hearing Jesus teach could have easily have seen a Pharisee in the temple, and they would have known where the tax collectors and sinners would be. My kind of people. I'd have been in the sinner group. I'm going to let you decide where you would be. I'd be over there with them. But Jesus is using two very different people, two very different characters. And he's making the point that he's actually talking, it says, to people who trusted in themselves. That's the group that Jesus, we're not told that they're Pharisees. We're just told that they are a group of people who trust in themselves. So the Pharisee, we give the Pharisees a bad name. But if you were a religious person in a first century Jewish area, you would have wanted to be a Pharisee. You would have wanted to follow the law. You would have wanted to feel and be righteous in the sight of others. But they missed the most important thing, which is who Jesus actually was. So Jesus calls them out by saying, this is how the man prayed. He stood far off by himself because he didn't want to be near the sinners. So he stood way off by himself, probably his arms lifted up. God, thank you. Sounds good, right? He's thanking God. But then he lists, thank you, I'm not like all these people. The temple's probably full. We talked about this in our discussion this morning during our Listen to Him study in the young adult class, which meets every Sunday at 10 o'clock. back to what we were saying. But he says, thank goodness I'm not like these other people. And we said, the temple had to be full. You went to the temple. There was no, well, I think I'll skip Jerusalem this time. If you were a Jew, you went to Jerusalem. If not, you had no worth in the community. You went up. Every which way, you went up to Jerusalem. And he says, God, thank you that I'm not like these thieves. Thank you, I'm not like these adulterers, these rogues, this tax collector. But then he goes on and he justifies himself before God. We see how he trusted his actions. I fast twice a week. That's pretty good. I give a tenth of all my income. That would have meant income, possessions, crops, whatever. I give you all 10% of all that I have. He's clearly trusting in his own actions to stand justified before God. But then we hear that the tax collector is standing off by himself. He's not standing off by himself because he doesn't want to be near the sinners. He's standing off away because he knows the closer he gets into the temple, the closer to God he actually is, and he's not deserving of that. So he's off, and think about it, he's off in the corner by himself. And the method of praying was to look up to God, but we hear that he can't even look up, that his head's down. And he doesn't list anything. He just asks, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We see that he's beating his breast. This was not only a sign of weakness, but a sign of grief, of torment, of anguish, of sorrow. So Jesus is painting this picture for all who are listening, those that trusted themselves, that both characters at some point on the way to Jerusalem have examined their lives before God. And their prayers reflect what they've decided from that examination. The parable forces everyone hearing to evaluate their life. And it's going to force us to do the same thing. The question really isn't, are you the saint or the sinner? It's not, are you a righteous person, religious person, Pharisee, or some scum person over here, tax collector? The question is, do you trust yourself? Are you desperate for God's mercy? So it's probably safe to say that nobody in here prays like a Pharisee. Not, at least not the one we see here. I hope you don't. If you do, don't admit that and stop it immediately. It's terrible. But it's pretty safe to say that from time to time, we trust ourselves when it comes to our relationship with God. You see, we are in a time, in a society, in a generation where prayer is no longer even considered important. If I remember to pray, good. If I don't, that's okay too. We live in a time where worship is at its all-time low in America as far as worship attendance. I think it's safe to say, even though that things are going well here, but most churches, if you ask them, would say they see a decline in giving, especially in their younger generations, because they've not been taught that's what they're supposed to do. We kind of pick and choose when we want to be a Christian out in public, don't we? I do. I don't want anybody knowing at the barbershop I'm a pastor. Now here, if I'm at a church meeting, man, we went to a youth training the other night. I'm a pastor. pastor of a wonderful church. Yeah, you're just a volunteer, huh? All right, not quite as good as me. But I go to the barbershop, and I don't, what do? Well, I kind of teach. I do some substituting. You know, I don't lie to them, but I don't want them to know I'm a pastor because all the good jokes stop. That's the truth. There's no more good jokes in the barbershop. And then you get the, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said. You don't need to be sorry to me. I thought it was funny. You need to be sorry to God. It's true. We get trapped in this mentality sometimes. You know how long I've been in this church? They ought to be doing this for me. Ooh, that's right. You ever felt that? I mean, don't raise your hand. I felt that way before. I have felt like, well, do they not know how many hours I spent? Not here. I'm talking like before I was a preacher. You know, I'm up here serving. I'm up here working. I'm up here doing. Nobody has told me thank you. We get just trapped in. Probably my favorite, where I find myself the most, is we get frustrated with other people, don't we? And it's like, well, they should be doing. You're right. They should be doing what they've been called to do. They should be doing what they promised the church they would do. But that's between them and God. See, we want to say, well, if they would just do this, if they would just do that, our church would be better. You might be right, but what you just said is if they acted more like me, we'd be better off. You see, we find ourselves trusting in our own actions. Do you realize that the majority of Christians now say they no longer spend any time in the Bible? Call themselves Christian and say, I have no need for the Bible. It's old, it's ancient, it doesn't matter anymore. It's the world we live in. And I don't think any of us want to feel like the tax collector. But when it comes to our faith walk, when it comes to our journey, when it comes to our salvation, the only prayer we should be able to get out is have mercy on me. I'm not going to speak for you because that wouldn't be fair, but I can speak for myself. And when I get to heaven one day or I get in front of the gates and they list all the things I've ever done, none of them are going to add up to get me in that gate. None of them are going to be good enough because the measure is Christ. So when they compare me to Christ, I'm going to be nowhere near it. But if the prayer is, God, have mercy on me, you put on Christ. So then when God sees you, he sees Christ. And I know that's hard for us to understand. That's why it's hard for us to pray that prayer, the second prayer in our devotion. God, have mercy on me, your son, your daughter. That's hard. But it's who we are. It's a tough battle, but I know we can do it. We've got to fight any kind of desire to be selfish, to be self-absorbed, to be self-righteous. And it's hard. I know it's hard. I struggle with it too. I get frustrated too. I'll look at all the numbers later this week and I'll be frustrated. What do you mean people went on vacation? Don't they know it's been October since I didn't have to preach? They've missed 17 Sundays. Where is this beach house I've never been invited to? If you want to invite us, you can see Stacy after church. Teasing, unless it's a really nice beach house. But our prayer, have mercy on me. God, I don't deserve this, but have mercy on me. You see, the tax collector is off in the corner by himself. But we know the Pharisee saw him. Because in his prayer, he said, like this tax collector. He may not have pointed at him, but he saw him. So when we get into that mode of trusting ourselves, two things happen. One, we fail to love God with all we have. He cannot have our whole heart if we think we can get to heaven on our own. But we also fail to love other people. Because the tax collector needed somebody to come be with him, to love him, to encourage him, to pray with him. And the Pharisee was the perfect one to do it. Today we're preparing to come to the Lord's table. And it should be a reminder to us that we can't do this on our own. But that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It took a broken body and the blood shed of the only perfect person that's ever lived so that you and I could receive the grace, love, and mercy of God. So today when we come to the table, you're not just coming to get some bread and some grape juice. You're coming to encounter the living Savior. And you have a choice to make when you get here. And the choice is, how desperate am I going to be? Am I going to trust in what I can do on my own? Or is my prayer going to be, God, have mercy on me? But if that's our prayer, then when God moves, the only thing we can do is be obedient. Amen? Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.